tomato basil soup.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I'm going to anyways.
Here we go.
This isn't on, right?
I guess my attempt is...
Yeah. Yeah?
No?
You know, to kind of figure out the story.
I've never done anything like this before.
As I have conversations.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I'd say it's about as local as you can get.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Creative Citizen, the Unexpected Artist. I'm your host, Madeline Allborn. Creative Citizen is published by AlamosaCitizen.com and produced by the famous Owen Woods. Today, we are in the worldwide headquarters on the south side of Alamosa, and we have three incredible humans in the space with us today. And per our tradition, I'm going to have you all introduce yourself in any way that feels good for you.
Hey, thanks, Madeline, for having us on the show. My name is Aaron Miltberger. I'm a human and Valley resident from the, maybe quasi-human, and Valley resident for the last 26 years, which has been really wonderful. I currently work with the Boys and Girls Clubs and a number of other loose coalitions of do-gooders, including this one.
Thanks, Maddie, for having me, having us. My name is Jessica Chacon. I'm Aaron Miltenberger's neighbor.
That's right.
In more ways than one.
Yeah.
I've been living in the San Luis Valley on and off for about 2 decades. And yeah, I own Sweetgrass Therapeutics, which is an integrative wellness center downtown Alamosa. And yeah, I'm working on this project that we're here to talk about today. So I'm really excited to be here.
Thanks for being here.
Peace, everybody. This is Adrian H. Molina, a.k.a. Molina Speaks. I'm a human, artist, and spirit in league with some of the most fantastic people on the planet, and that's all you.
Yeah, thanks all for being here. I'm super stoked because there has been a call for art that has popped up called Dreamscapes Lounge Future Town Tour 2045. And yeah, all y'all are players in this, dreaming up all these ideas and these partnerships. And as the steward of the church project too, in our budding, blooming partnership with Warm Cookies and Future Town Tour, I'm stoked to hear more about this opportunity and yeah, see what it's all about. So let's get all the logistics, the how, the why, the where, the when. I don't know who wants to go first, if that's a Adrian piece first.
Oh yeah, I'll hop in and I'll try to be as concise as possible because it's a lot of interlocking pieces. So this is a project powered by Warm Cookies of the Revolution. Warm Cookies is a civic health club. And what that means for us is that we're interested in the 364 days of the year that is not an election. So people think about being involved in democracy in like one of two ways, voting or protest. And those are two ways to be involved, but we believe there are countless ways to be engaged in the process of creating a healthy community, you know, every day of the year. So that's what we do through art, culture, and authentic connectivity. Anywhere and everywhere we go, it's really important to us to have community-based partnerships, authentic partnerships with people who are on the ground. Like we started in Denver, but we have expanded throughout the state and also exploring various national partnerships. Future Town Tour is a central way in which we collaborate in small towns. So the goal of Future Town Tour is quite simply to imagine small towns in the future rather than in the past. You know, the narrative a lot of times in a small town, and I grew up in a small town, so I know, you know, it's like the town is dying. It's a ghost town. There's a narrative about what the town used to be, right? And there's all these assumptions and stereotypes and outdated notions of what it means to live in a small town. So imagining the small town in the future rather than in the past, you know, from the outset is like a powerful reframing of the story. So first and foremost, that's what Future Town is about. We believe that, you know, anything is possible in the future. The future is unwritten. And we're also excited about what's possible in a small town, because conversely to what a lot of people outside of small towns may think, you know, it's like small towns move at their own pace and things can slow down in a really beautiful way. But at the same time, things can move rather quickly in a small town because there's not as much bureaucracy. There's space for possibility. And I've just personally seen in my work as an artist that things can happen pretty quickly. So, yeah, we're excited about this future town idea. And that's what sets the backdrop for this whole exhibition that we're dreaming up. There's a lot more to say about that, but I want to pause there and kick it to my friends around the table, because I talked about the importance of partnerships, and each one of you, you know, Maddie, Jessica, Aaron, like the work that y'all do, the spaces that y'all run, we're all in partnership together, and that's what makes this Future Town Tour thing run.
Well said. My goodness, there's so much.
So much.
And such incredible platforms and partnerships, like Mo was saying, around like this is how it all works in a small town, right? We have to be about partnership and collaboration versus competition or any of those things. So yes, tell me about Dreamscapes Lounge, though. This is what our focus is today, and I want to make sure we have time to get into the depth of all the things.
Mm-hmm. Adrian, feel free to pop in on this, but I'll jump in here. And you know, Dreamscapes Lounge Future Town 2045 is about envisioning a generation ahead of us and envisioning a future generation out. And, you know, when I think about envisioning a future, I think about the dream world. And we have to dream. We have to enter into places where our creativity lives, and places where stories live, and places where sometimes only art can tell, you know? Mm-hmm. And so Dreamscapes Lounge, in my viewpoint, and Sweetgrass Therapeutics is one of the places where we'll be hosting one of the exhibitions, which I'm sure we'll get into here in a moment. But what I think about is, like, can we come together to be like the spiders who dreamed humanity? Can we come together to be weavers and weave a new tapestry? Because the story and the future that we're heading to right now feels a little hopeless to many people. And so Dreamscapes Lounge feels like a moment where we can come together and find hope, or tell a story about hope.
Yeah, I think to that effect, I do some other work with an organization called CoCenter, really looking at leveraging the innovation and entrepreneurship that's native to rural spaces, that rural spaces would never use language like innovation and entrepreneurship, right? It's the things that happen every day that are incredibly creative, but not because it's a creative pursuit. It's just a baked-in way of life, right? And I think the necessary symbiotic relationship between rural spaces and urban spaces, between those of privilege and those without privilege, people who have very different lived experience coming together, the place where that all happens is in these community areas, right, where we can invite people in. And I think the reason for a concept like Dreamscapes Lounge is it invites us to dream together, right? To dream a possibility. I think art is reflective of life and life is reflective of art. So I think there's a very intentional choice by Warm Cookies of the Revolution to do something that invites, suggests, prompts, agitates a community like Alamosa that is so naturally creative, right? We're doing all these amazing things all the time. Sometimes we don't see it until we go out into other spaces, into other communities. Sometimes we need to put it on the walls of yoga studios and places like architect offices, right? Sometimes we need it on the walls of buildings to remind ourselves of what's possible and call forward that future for our next generation.
Yeah, well said. Also, that kind of answered like my first question that I had for you all, was why frame this project around dreams? Mm-hmm. But I think between all three of you, that was answered quite well, because yeah, we do have these moments and these dreams that we have, that envision, that invitation of the future that we want to see come to fruition.
And I think we should pop in and have Mo talk about this as well, you know, because the Dreamscapes Lounge was really like something he planted.
Yeah.
The seed for the tree of Dreamscapes Lounge.
So the first Dreamscapes Lounge, I think of it as Project Zero, because zero is the first number representative of the circle and the connection between all things. But that first Dreamscapes Lounge lives at Meow Wolf Denver, and it was a collaboration with an elder Chicano artist by the name of Esteban Lucero. Rest in power, rest in peace. As an elder, this was his final large-scale work of art, and it was an indigenous futurist Dreamscapes Lounge, and it was dedicated to his life and his art. He stuck around to see that project through. It was a multi-year project. We collaborated with 21 different artists, ranging from 19 to 72, which was his age. He stuck around to see it through. He passed away 2 months after Meow Wolf Denver opened, but that's a permanent installation. There's a 75-minute soundtrack in that space where you can only hear it here or there in that room, which has a 360-degree mural that came to him in a dream in 1975. So that was the first. The second was a project that I did down in the downtown Denver Art District. And that was around an album of mine called Dreams, Life, and Times, which is a 45-minute stream of consciousness project. That's just like these cascading dreamscapes. And so for this third Dreamscapes Lounge, when I started thinking about all of the collaborations that are budding around the state, and Alamosa and the Valley being like really ground zero for a lot of this creativity that is spiraling out, I just saw all the homies and I was like, it's time to take this concept and just blow it up really big. And to bring in as many artists as we can and to make it like about us, you know, all of us. So, you know, from the beginning, Dreamscapes Lounge as a concept has been rooted in collaboration, but this multiplies and amplifies and really takes it to an exponential level, because there's gonna be a lot of artists and a lot of different spaces that are involved in this Dreamscapes Lounge universe.
I love origin stories. Thank you for sharing that. Yes. And something for Alamosa and Dreamscapes Lounge. I mean, I feel like I kind of want to land all of our listeners. Like, I know there are themes. I know there are like specific locations where these exhibitions are going to happen. So I wonder if we can land everybody there and then we can continue to get into the depth of some of my other questions that I have.
Great. So one of the venues will be Sweetgrass Therapeutics, and the theme there is Seed Earth Revival. I mean, those three words by itself, just like feel it in your body, but Seed Earth Revival, like reviving our relationships to land and our more than human world and also each other. And what would it feel like and look like for us to thrive again? Yeah, planting the seeds for that. And then another venue will be the design infrastructure of the Southwest, and that's going to be at the Hub. Yeah,
the Boys and Girls Club on a building downtown. We have a space that will have an incredible new architect with Valley Architects in, and really thinking about the way that we can create infrastructure that reflects this idea of dreams and the future infrastructure for community. And so imagining creative spaces where infrastructure, architecture, design come together that aren't just like an urban planner now, but really thinking about community building spaces of the future. Mm-hmm. And then I think we have another one at Shooting Stars Culture and Leadership Center, right?
Yeah, that's called Mestizo Future Dream. So thinking about Chicano, Mestizo, BIPOC, Indigenous, past, present, and future. And then the fourth one, the fourth concept and theme is going to be Aguas, Huellas, and Flow. And that one's going to move like water. It's going to start at the Alamosa Public Library, and then it's going to move to another venue in the fall.
Oh,
we'll share about that.
TBD,
later.
Dot, dot, dot.
They're also exciting. And I'm also, I remember seeing this call for art for the first time and being like, and I consider myself a dreamer very much, right? Like we nickname the church project the Dream Machine, which is actually pulled from a poem by my friend Mary Welcome. Shout out to all the homies up in Palouse, Washington, doing all of their incredible work. And I even felt almost a bit intimidated because dreams are also a really vulnerable place to kind of step into and to be able to share. What would you all recommend maybe for folks to be able to kind of enter into this space in a way, maybe that is kind of based on the themes and what resonates with folks, or can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I've been really thinking about a way to make it all make sense. And so I'm going to start with my entry point. So Allison and Jean do these amazing zines, right? Hysteria Heart Press puts out these four zines each year. And each zine has its own particular theme or call, but they're all themed around the same general concept, right? So four seasons, four elements, you know, four aspects of movement. I think in the same way, while they're collecting submissions from artists and then they curate, they fill in the blanks, they like shift things from one zine to another, depending on where they think they fit best. They'll edit and go back and forth with artists. I think that's really the work that Jessica and Adrian and I will do, is taking whatever is given that feels in line with the call to the spirit that works on that theme, and then fitting it to one of those four spaces, right? Just in this bigger idea of Dreamscapes Lounge, Future Town, 2045.
Mo, you want to speak to that for a moment?
Yeah, I can jump here and add that, you know, it's meant to feel big, and I don't mind it feeling a little intimidating or abstract or like, what? They're doing what? Like, what is this? Like, there's so much, right? And we're not asking any one particular artist to take all that in and make something out of all of that, because there's so many themes that are embedded within this. Like, we're thinking land, water, technology, humanity, ecology, design, futurism, our histories, our rememberings, our stories. You could submit poetry, visual arts. If you have an AI or virtual reality project, like, we're open to that. Like, you can install something from found materials that you collected from the earth. We're into watercolor, oil, acrylic, framed or unframed, writings, sketches, studies. It's wide open. And, you know, that's really for a reason. Like, I didn't want this to be your typical artist call. And this isn't growing up in an institution. And this isn't a corporation that's putting out this call. You know, this is a community-based organization in collaboration with dozens of other community-based organizations. And so it really is meant to be like as big as life itself, as big as the universe, as big as everything that we're confronting and questioning and navigating as a species. You know, there's room for the architects, the educators, the dreamers, the artists, you know, the feminists, POC, you know, BIPOC folk, people who don't identify with that on any level, elders, youth. It's an open call, all ages. And we're getting art already from like world-renowned artists.
Support comes from Colorado Housing and Finance Authority. CHFA supports Colorado home ownership and works with a statewide network of lenders. Visit chfainfo.com/your home. CHFA is an equal housing lender.
I'll pop in on the piece you asked about dreams being vulnerable. And what's coming up for me right now is that dreams are vulnerable. You know, I was just sharing about dreams that I had that took me almost over a week to share my dreams with my partner, because they share a lot of, you know, subconscious information that sometimes we forget, we don't even know it's there. We forget it's there. And what I'll say is that we are in a very vulnerable time right now. We are in a threshold, and in these thresholds, there is a lot of opportunity for change. And, you know, as a therapist, I see that most people find me when they're in a threshold and they feel stuck in some way, shape, or form. And we are in a place as humanity where some people are becoming immobilized by what is taking shape. And so I think that we do need to be uncomfortable and be in this vulnerable place and drop into our dream world, drop into the stories of our ancestors, and, you know, really think about the vision of the future. And I don't think that it's going to be the big man upstairs, you know, the people, you know, with the power in our communities that are going to make the changes. It's going to be like we, us, our small communities, our artists, our dreamers, our poets, you know, our elders, our children. And I think that we all dream in some way, shape, or form. And not all of us can be visionary painters, but, you know, we can maybe make sketches or gather rocks to tell a story.
Right. Like, yeah, as Melina was listing off all of those various artistic mediums, I mean, yeah, it's really open to anything. Mm-hmm. And I also, while we were talking before we even started recording, right, we were kind of talking about these hand-holding words a little bit, right? Like the vulnerability with the dreams, but then dreams also kind of prompt this aspect of hope. And I wanted, yeah, space to for you to speak to that.
Really thinking about hope, I think it's an extension of this idea of dreams. I think the theme of dreams is subtle and really brilliant and intentional, and also not intentional on a conscious level. It gives us permission to get outside of the known, to get outside of the rational brain, and to bring in really irrational things. And I think hope is a pretty irrational feeling. If there's one central pillar for the design, as I've sat with Adrienne and Jessica, it's this idea of like, imagine the community in any way you can imagine it in 2045, a generation from now. And that's rooted in this idea of hope. And I've been doing a lot of sitting and thinking about the idea of hope. I think hope is necessary, right? We get up in the morning because we have hope. You know, we go through our day because we have hope. We have children and families because we have hope. We plant trees because we have hope. We make art because we have hope. And sometimes hope is something that we hang on to so strongly that we forget our present moment, right? We can get really lost in the tomorrows and the things that we don't have of the past. And so sometimes hope can take us away from the beauty of the moments that we're living. And I think that the Dreamscapes Lounge concept really brings those two pieces together, right? We're asking you to really think about a generation forward and dreaming a world for them that may be possible, may be impossible. It doesn't matter. And to create that sense of hope and not be anchored in what is possible, what isn't possible, what was, what we lost, what we let go of.
Yeah, as you were just finishing that last sentence, I was thinking, like, to me, dreams are like seeds. We go to our gardens and we plant these seeds in hope that they come up, in hope that the rain comes, mm-hmm. and hope that the sun shines on it enough, right? But, like, that's not going to keep us from planting our gardens, because we got to eat, you know? We got to find and see beauty. And so to me, this is like a way of us planting seeds for something we don't quite know yet, you know. And Adrian and I just got back from Gunnison doing some Future Town tour stuff up in Gunnison, and you know, we were hanging out with this really beautiful artist named Amanda Sage, and you know, her artwork was so visionary, and I saw my dreams within what she created and was like so inspired, because it's like we live in completely different places in completely different bodies, but some of the same subconscious themes flow through all of us. And I think right now there's a lot of information for us to gather from the seeds fallen from the clouds.
Yes, I also feel like I've been pulling at like so many of these little threads that just kind of like whisk by, and I'm like, oh, what's that? Let me just pull it a little closer and investigate. And it's like, I think so much of being an artist and a dreamer, and even if you don't own the title artist or you don't own the title dreamer, but you follow your curiosity in some of these elements, I think it all, yeah, connects us in these various ways that sometimes are unexplainable.
Looking for the freshest food in the valley? Introducing the new SLB Local Foods Directory, where you can meet your neighbors and eat better. From colorful potatoes and crisp greens to farm fresh eggs, dairy, and meat, find exactly who grows your food right here in the valley. Support local, eat fresh, and strengthen our community. Are you a local farmer or producer? Add your information. Visit elemasacitizen.com today and discover the freshest food from the heart of the valley.
To this notion of deja vu, I believe in the multiverse. You know, quantum physics is something that on a lot of levels is beyond like my studies, but we do know on a basic level that, you know, atoms, particles, electrons, there are really fantastical things happening in the microscopic world, and the universe is much stranger and much more dynamic than we can even comprehend. So I think that there's a lot that is happening in any one moment that kind of like echoes and ricochets across dimensions. And this notion of the multiverse, that there are these parallel universes, I tend to think about deja vu in the way that, like, I imagine there are enough of you that are lining up doing the exact same thing in the exact same moment with the exact same people that, like, you feel this echo. And it's like, that's the deja vu, is like you're exactly where you're supposed to be, and something has so much resonance and vibration. And it feels like so big, and it's just like this echoing feeling. I think that is what deja vu is, in my personal reflection on it, because I tend to feel that when I feel like I'm following an instruction that is greater than me as an artist. Mm-hmm. Like, I tend to feel that echo, that vibration, that resonance, which, you know, brings me to this notion of the bigness of this project. You know, I've had a few people tell me like, this feels so big, or like, I don't really know how to take it all in, or where I'm supposed to find myself within this artist call or this project. And it's meant to be big. You know, it's meant to feel expansive and to invite possibility, and to invite people to find their place within it. You know, life is big. Like, life can be overwhelming, right? And any big opportunity that we find ourselves in, whether that's falling in love or a dream that we have, or some goal we want to fulfill, like, it's big, right? And so I don't mind this feeling really big, like, or abstract, because this is not a corporate art project. Like, this is not your average artist call from an institution that puts out things in a very grid-like way. Like, this is meant to feel as expansive as the night sky. It's meant to feel as expansive as the ocean or the desert, right? And so we invite artists to submit their work to a specific theme if that moves them, or like to a specific site. But you can also just submit your art and be like, hey, like, this is what I got. And then, you know, as Aaron and Jess were speaking to, like, we'll take the art and curate it and figure out where it goes. But the beautiful thing about this project is, you know, already we have world-renowned artists that are submitting their art. We have people who are submitting who have shown art all over the world. And we also have artists who are like, this is my first artist call. This will be my first time installing. We want all of that. You know, like, this is an open call to teenage artists. We'll be getting some art from local teens in the Valley. We want art from elders. We want art from across the different sectors of society. You know what I mean? Like, we want art from every corner. And the final thing I'll say about that right now, like, just the bigness of it, is that this is a beginning. So we're looking at 2045, because it's a full generation from now. It gives us enough time to dream, but it's real enough that, like, if you're a parent, like, this is the world that your kids inherit and pass on to their kids in 2045. But it gives us enough time that it's like, this is just the beginning. And it all spirals out of Alamosa and the San Luis Valley. But these first four installations, then there will be a fifth with Milagros downtown. And there will be all kinds of programming that happens that activates these spaces between summer solstice in June and winter solstice in December. And if you end up listening to this podcast like months from now or in 2027 and you're like, damn, like, I wish I would have known about that. Like, whoa, trust me, there will be something else that spirals forward from here on this 2045 mission. Like, this is a beginning. Mm. We're thinking that far into the future because this is meant to spark, first of all, a conversation and radical imagination. But from there, like, action, concrete action. And there will be other projects and other experiences in other towns, other states, other parts of the world from this Dreamscapes Lounge, Future Town, 2045. But it's starting in 2026 in Alamosa, you know, focused on the San Luis Valley as if it were the great tree of the world and everything flowed from there.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Hmm. You asked about the concept of, like, the lounge, right?
Oh, yeah.
And Adrian just mentioned that we are going to be having lots of programming to activate the spaces. And I think that's an important piece that to have listeners know, is that each venue from summer solstice to winter solstice is going to take it upon themselves to create events or workshops or activate their space around, you know, the art and the exhibition. And also every First Friday, we're working with First Fridays here in Alamosa to have a tour that will take people to all four of the spaces. In September, we'll have five. And yeah, you know, I plan to turn Sweetgrass into a little lounge, some low light, maybe bring in some DJs who can play, you know, some soft music. We'll turn the Sweetgrass into a little tea bar and we'll drink tea. We'll have conversations and drop into those dream states, you know, with each other. And all of that TBD, but that's kind of an example of what we're going to be doing, like some after hours type of things.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Be that third space for people that they're always looking for.
Third space. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A really important piece.
And I'm aware also that Shooting Stars, you know, they plan to do some programming around the community garden work that they're doing. So there will be meals and community gardening that are happening in relation to the Mestizo Future Dreams exhibit. Shooting Stars is also connected to the Five Star Riders Lowrider Club, so guarantee there will be classic cars and lowrider events involved, including one of the Sundays at Six performances in August, where 2MX2 will be headlining, and they're a really dope Chicano hip-hop band out of Denver with roots that stretch all the way down to Mexico. I know that at the Hub, and the architect who will be in the building has plans for Friday coffee hours and hosting conversations, poets, speakers, storytellers, architects to really inspire these visions of sustainable architecture. The library will be the first site for Aguas Juegas Flow. And you know, the library does a lot of community engagement. So yeah, there's just gonna be a whole bunch of really fly stuff happening all over the town and then spreading out to other towns and center. Maddie, I imagine this is gonna have some kind of a life at the Church Project in Monte Vista. There's a lot of activation that is taking, you know, what is often like a two-dimensional art experience, or it ain't even an experience, but like, you know, and that's cool too. You get to go look at art two-dimensionally on the walls, but like, not only are we taking it three-dimensionally, but we're taking it to the fourth dimension of like real time, real space with people. And then, you know, when you bring in the heart, when you bring in the activation, where we're going to the fifth and the sixth dimension with it.
Right, yes. Out of our humanoid bodies a little bit.
Yeah, and we are also going to be doing a big kickoff event on the summer solstice.
Okay.
And so that's going to be the morning of the summer solstice. We'll be probably convening, it's kind of still TBD, but convening around Cole Park. You know, since the library will have the Aguas Juegas Flow, and then we'll be moving together as a little tour, and then we're going to head out to Center where they're having their solstice party, and we're going to have a block party.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
There's so many exciting things to look forward to. And, just as you all have been opening up this opportunity and like really sharing the vast and expansiveness of it all, right? My mind likes to go big and then come back in and then go big and then come back in. And I'm finding myself kind of asking, what is my role? But not just in terms of this project, but like, we can all ask ourselves these questions, is what is my role in what 2045 will look like the next generation from now? So, but I think that flex, I think, is what I'm sort of referring to, like that activation of self in community, of the greater region, of the state, of the country.
It's time travel, right? It's a quantum experience. We're asking you to like jump into 2045 and bring your piece of that lived experience back here. Like jump out of the San Luis Valley, jump out of Earth, the stratosphere, the galaxy, and bring a piece of that back here. Like jump out whatever like holds on to your heart and your soul and bring it back here to be a part of this project. Khalil Gibran and the Prophet writes on his chapter called On Children, "Our children are not our children. They are the sons and daughters of life's yearning for itself. You can give them your hope, but not your dreams, for their dreams live in the houses of tomorrow, which you cannot visit."
Yes, we are. A submission deadline is coming up real quick, May 4th. May the 4th be with you, and getting your submissions in. But what I want to say about that is, even though that submission is coming up fast, you don't need to have your art ready. We don't need your specific art. So if you want to give us a confirmation that you're in, get onto the Google Doc and say, "I'm in," you know, give us your concept, maybe a little illustration of what you're sketching up. And you can give us some images of like maybe past art you've made. But we don't specifically need that by May 4th, but we just want to know that you're in.
Okay.
And then I think one of the people that we should call into this space is the homegirl, Lattice Feliciano, yes. Mm-hmm. Who is really talented at like artist calls and bringing things together and helping to see the vision of those submissions. So again, it doesn't have to be a finished piece of art. Like mm-hmm. Lattice is really talented at bringing this all together. And she's like, you know, the fourth of the four musketeers.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Lattice is working on this project with us too.
Yeah. She's at a poetry class tonight, mm-hmm. which is why she couldn't be with us in this shotgun episode. Yeah. I just knew I wanted to gather the dreamers and the doers, to be able to unwrap, this Dreamscape Lounge, opportunity a little bit more than, I mean, all of the beautiful imagery and detail that's on the website. This is all something, yeah, you can find out on social medias and Warm Cookies of the Revolution, Future Town Tour.
It's on Sweetgrass Therapeutics website.
It's on Sweetgrass Therapeutics website, and I'll put it on, it's on the Church Project Instagram for sure, and awesome. Our Facebook. So, yeah, final thoughts?
Pieces need to be submitted by May 20th, mm-hmm. right? So we can get them ready to go. I think if you're a local artist, there's a little flexibility there, but we really need pieces by the 20th so we can start our curation process and getting them ready to go for mm-hmm. summer solstice for that big kickoff.
And if you are from outside of the SLV, we will be coordinating with you if your art is chosen for the exhibition on how to pick up that art and bring it here to the Valley. Adrian and I will be going on a Future Town Interdependence Loop tour in June, so we'll be passing through some places where we can scoop some art.
Again, I reiterate that anybody who's listening to this after the fact, and you know, these exhibitions are already up, if you're inspired to do some kind of pop-up, one-off event, host an open mic, do something inspired by Future Town 2045, like this is a broad invitation. And we would love to see that. And, you know, if you're like, ooh, I want to do this here or there or another iteration of it, you know, at some other time in the future, we're here for that as well.
Awesome. I have one last question for you guys. Normally I ask, because normally we record in the closet at the Church Project, and I ask folks what a closet space means to them. But for the theme around this 2045 is, what do you all see in 2045? Or like, what do you imagine maybe in your personal lives or your greater community? And I can go first if that's helpful. I imagine in 2045, I will have a minimum of two other Church Project locations in rural towns across America. I hope to represent a Church Project community art center in every time zone across America and then the world. That's what I hope. But I'll have three sites in 2045 is my hope.
Yeah, I'm here for that.
Beautiful.
I hope that you have six sites, double that, and I hope I'm doing collaborative programming with you in all six of those sites, and that my kids are as well.
Oh, yeah, you know Warm Cookies is coming with TCP all across the way.
I've been thinking a lot about interrelations, and I've been watching these two movements. I've been watching a movement of separateness and then watching a convergence of interrelations. And I feel like the heart pulse of humanity aligns to interrelations. And 2045 calls me into a space where separation is no longer tolerated, but interrelationship is the only way that we can survive and thrive. And so I see a 2045 that is full of interrelation, that moves away from separation and isolation and loneliness.
I echo a lot of what Aaron just spoke to. You know, it's taken a full generation or two, maybe three. Maybe let's say 500 years. However you want to think about it, whatever scope of time, it's taken a long time to land in a lot of the isolation, hopelessness, and despair that people feel. And so it's going to take a full generation to get on the other side of that, you know, and I firmly believe that that we will get there. We spoke about hope earlier, and you know, some people feel hope is soft. I don't think that way at all. You know, like I have a term, relentless optimism, and it's a practice. You know, it's a gritty optimism, and it's necessary. You know, because if you don't think that something else is possible, well, then what is there to get up and fight for or work for, you know? So it's kind of by design that we get in these dark age periods, and, you know, the people calling the shots, they want us to feel powerful. But guess what? We call the shots every day in our own lives, in big and small ways. And I see a lot of creativity flowing from all corners of society over the next 20 years. I see a lot of community building and a lot of new ideas. And I see already, you know, you just look around, you see people picking up the slack, you know, like whatever governments aren't doing, whatever institutions aren't doing to take care of people, to inspire our hearts, our minds, our spirits, like we're doing it. And I see a lot more of that. And at some point things flip, you know, because it isn't just about wanting these people at the top, whatever the top may mean. It ain't just about wanting these people with perceived power to make everything better. Like, that's not going to happen, you know, if we aren't doing that ourselves. And we are doing it. And so at some point, like, things flip, you know. And I believe that we will live in a challenging world, but a more responsive world by 2045, where not only the artists, not only the activists, not only the teachers, and, you know, the community workers as we think of them now, but I do believe that it is possible for corporations, institutions, governments, power structures to be more responsive and to be more aligned with a more livable future. But none of that's going to happen if we don't get busy on the ground. So that's what we're doing.
Future Town 2045, baby.
Hop on the train. Yeah, while y'all are talking, what's coming up for me is, like, I was thinking about my age in 2045, and I'm going to be, like, in my late 50s, you know, approaching my elderhood, which is wild to think about, you know, and a part of me is like, I'm going to be doing the work that I'm doing now currently, because the future is also now. And I think that in order for the future to be created, I have to also live what I want in the future currently, right? And so I have to find sustainable ways of being in relationship with myself, with my community, with my family, with my land, with my money, and, like, setting myself up for the future. And so in a way, it's like, I feel like even though I'm looking out that far, I'm also trying to live that now, you know. I don't want to be waiting for retirement. I want to live retirement, like, now.
Yeah.
And set my life up in that way. And yeah, I hope to be living amongst a more sustainable earth, and people really waking up to how we need to come together and take care of each other, but also to take care of our land, to take care of water. I'm really thinking about the water right now, and, you know, grieving with the water. And I'm hoping that we find, especially here in the San Luis Valley, ways where we can call the water back, and we are in right relationship with water, so that we have enough to never go thirsty, but to also be able to grow food and keep doing what this valley has done for such a long time. You know, I wrote a poem about dreams, and I thought maybe this could be a good way to close.
Love it.
Okay. Dreams, a textured art piece felt in between moments of sleeping and waking. Remembered memories reshaping the past while also birthing the present and future. Dreams are landscapes calling us to gather. Dreams are playgrounds with Legos and bricks of hope shaped by the dreams of our children. A dream is a place where all things are possible, a library of stories waiting to unfold. Are dreams my dreams, or are they dreams of my ancestors? Are dreams really dreams, or are they visions of lives already lived in a place far beyond me? When the empire crumbles and falls, who will pick up the pieces? It will be us, the we, la gente. The ones with wrinkled hands holding heirloom seeds, the ones with eyes that can see a world beyond our dreams, the ones who pray with their feet, the ones who make magic with their song, the ones who speak with their pencil and paintbrush. It will be the ones who dream, who bring back the future.
Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of Creative Citizen, The Unexpected Artist. I'm your host, Madeline Allborn. Creative Citizen is published through alamosacitizen.com and produced by the famous Owen Woods. Today we were talking about Dreamscape Lounge Future Town Tour 2045. You can read more about it in the show notes and find all the proper links to get you into your dreams. Until next time.